This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for June 28th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off, JLN, today with this story that I wrote, a commentary, that Innovator's Dilemma meets Furtick's Law. New startup exchanges should help, not hurt CME Group. The late author and Harvard professor Clayton Christensen coined the phrase the Innovator's Dilemma in his popular book by the same name. In the book, he describes why some well-run companies lose their dominant market position through the entrance of a competitor with a disruptive technology. He uses an example, the personal computer and its smaller, slower disk drives, which disrupted big iron mainframe computers by offering a cheaper solution that was good enough. The CME Group's dominant market position in the U.S. futures market, which some classify as a monopoly, has spawned two separate challengers built on the model of the Innovator's Dilemma. The small exchange and the fair exchange are seeking to disrupt the CME's dominant position, or at least carve out a place of their own in the U.S. futures market landscape. It is the latter which is really the truth. The CME Group will most likely benefit from these new exchanges while not sacrificing their higher margins. For the rest of this commentary, you can find it on johnlothiannews.com. Here are the comments and stories from the hits and takes section of today's JLN. Back when single stock futures were preparing to launch, I used to joke that Nasdaq Life's Bob Fitzsimmons was the most focused executive and would turn any question into an answer in support of the disruptive product. Asked about the weather, Fitzsimmons would say something like, "No matter what the weather, you can trade single stock futures." That was a dig at the floor traded stocks at the New York Stock Exchange. However, today in Hong Kong was proof that weather can still matter in an electronic trading environment. Hong Kong Exchange shut down this morning because of a, quote, black rainstorm warning. You can learn all about the severe weather arrangements for Hong Kong Exchange with a link in today's newsletter. For the record, the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, or MGEX, does not shut down for purple rain. Speaking of the weather, there is an ice storm going on in commodities. ICE, or Intercontinental Exchange, reported record open interest in its global commodity futures markets of 35.2 million contracts. That is a 10% year-over-year growth in total open interest. Meanwhile, at NASDAQ, there was a flood of IPOs during the first half of 2021, which raised a record amount of capital. NASDAQ welcomed 395 IPOs and had 14 exchange transfers in the first half of 2021. The IPO flood raised a total of $103 billion, extending its leadership to 30 consecutive quarters, NASDAQ reported. NASDAQ also set a record for the number of shares traded during the 2021 Russell U.S. Indices reconstitution, a record 2.37 billion shares, representing 80,898,531,612 were executed in the closing cross in 1.9 seconds across NASDAQ listed securities. CME Group is still learning that Satoshis can really add up. Its micro Bitcoin futures traded over 1 billion contracts as of Friday, despite having launched just 7 weeks ago. The Chicago Tribune was a world-class newspaper when I was a youth, and its columnists were amongst the world's best, including Mike Royko. He was part of my inspiration to become a journalist. The Tribune is just a shell of its former self, and that was before its new owner, Alden Capital, offered buyouts to some of its biggest name columnists, including John Cass, Phil Rosenthal, Mary Schmick, Darlene Glanton, Shannon Ryan, Heidi Stevens, and Eric Zorn. It's a shame what has happened to the paper, which has suffered through some pretty bad owners of late. We shall see what Alden Capital does to revive the paper, but losing talent such as these writers is not a good indication. We had no new donations to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign over the weekend. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. The Spread, June 25th, 2021 edition. No summer doldrums this year. Volatility and volume surge. More single stock options to choose from. John Lothian weighs in with his take, and Jermall Chandler explains intrinsic value in this week's Options Term of the Week. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. Whistleblower thought he would get a big payout. Instead, he got nothing and went broke. Securities and Exchange Commission says it can't reward watchdogs if recoup funds come through bankruptcy process. John McPherson was almost certain he'd get rich from the Securities and Exchange Commission's whistleblower program. Instead, he ended up bankrupt and embittered. Despite what the SEC called his extraordinary and continuing assistance in helping the agency shut down an alleged $1.4 billion investment scam, Mr. McPherson was notified last year that his whistleblower award would likely be close to zero. My comment, this is an interesting story. The whistleblower gets nothing because the firm declares bankruptcy, which means some of the worst offenses might not get reported because there's nothing in it for the whistleblowers. Here's a story from the Financial Times. UBS to let staff mix working from home and office permanently. Swiss bank expects embracing hybrid approach will make it a more attractive employer. UBS plans to allow up to two-thirds of its staff to mix working from home and the office on a permanent basis, betting the approach will give the Swiss lender an edge over Wall Street banks in recruiting. Where can I go short blue British banker suits? Hong Kong stocks edge down after storm wipes out morning trading. From Bloomberg, Hong Kong Exchange cancels morning of securities and derivatives. Hang Seng Index slips 0.06 after earlier halted on storm. Hong Kong stocks slipped on Monday after they resumed trading following a rainstorm that earlier canceled the morning session. The benchmark Hang Seng slipped 0.06% as of 1:46 p.m. local time, in line with the muted moves in the MSCI Asia Pacific Index. The city earlier lifted all rainstorm warnings, meaning the stock trading would begin in according with Hong Kong exchanges and clearing rules. My comment, a flood of liquidity wipes out trading. Here is a press release from Curve Global. Trading technology connects customers to Curve Global. Curve Global is delighted to announce that it has signed an agreement to provide customers of Trading Technologies International TT's platform with free access to Curve. TT's customers who are not currently connected to Curve will be able to trade short-term interest rate futures with no market access provider fees, enabling them to benefit from growing volumes and open interest on Curve Global, particularly in SONIA-linked instruments. Curve Global futures also clear at LCH, enabling customers to further benefit from portfolio margining opportunities. My comment, TT's network of exchange, broker, and asset manager connectivity is a big asset. Who wants to buy it? Here are the top three stories from Friday's JLN. Our top story Friday was Phantom Goldman Banker is Bait in Swiss Traders Kidnapping from Bloomberg. Second was Prop Trader Hudson River Reaps $1 billion in Frenzied Quarter from Yahoo Finance. And third was Chicago Board Options Exchange Headquarters named Arkitzer A-plus finalist from Canon Design. The Chicago Board of Options Exchange new headquarters in the Chicago old post office is one of five finalists in the Architecture Plus Ceilings category. Congrats to the SIBO. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for June 29th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off, Jalen, today with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. At exchanges of yesteryear, there were members and exchange leaders with outsized personalities. There were also quieter professionals behind the scenes doing their jobs that impacted the success of the exchanges in innumerable ways. The late Dee Hansen was one of the latter. She recently passed away after a long battle with Alzheimer's. Dee Hansen was the manager of the Visitors Gallery at the Chicago Board of Trade for many years, where she touched the lives of thousands of people who came to the exchange to see the people in brightly colored jackets jump and shout and make markets on the trading floor below. She loved the CBOT and the industry, Ray Carmichael told me. Dee was perhaps one of the most gracious, loving, dedicated, stalwart people to work with. I count working with her as one of the greatest blessings of my career and life, said Carmichael, her former supervisor. She helped celebrate the accomplishments and foundations of the industry with grace and class. She managed the CBOT Visitors Gallery like a museum docent. She was one of the finest managers I ever experienced, as I watched her show kindness and high expectations to each person, always treating them as decent human beings, even the most difficult ones. I don't believe I ever heard a discouraging or disparaging word out of her mouth in the 10 years I worked with her, even when she was managing receptions for hundreds of people, he added. I am personally very appreciative of Ms. Hansen and her work. It was a sophomore year of high school visit to the Chicago Board of Trade and the old Visitors Gallery over the 1929 trading floor that influenced me to come to work in the futures industry. Thank you to Dee Hansen, and may God bless you. There is a link in today's newsletter for her obituary. The Futures for Kids Golf Day is back after the pandemic forced the cancellation of the annual event last year. The popular event will be held on Monday, September 6th at the Royal Blackheath Golf Club in London. This is your opportunity to win the prestigious Bob Ray Memorial Trophy, named after the late CBOT and CME Group executive. If you're interested in participating or just joining the gaggle of golfers for lunch, send an email to ffk.inquiries@gmail.com. Bloomberg has an illustrated story titled How Thieves Stole $40 Million of Copper by Spray Painting Rocks in Turkey by Andy Hoffman and Benedict Camel, illustrated by Dorothy Cambrell. If you're a fan of illustrated superhero books, you will like this. Are you a fintech innovator startup? The FIA is looking for you for their Innovators Pavilion at the Futures and Options Expo 2021, billed by the FIA as the industry's largest and most comprehensive conference and trade show. The conference is November 2nd to 4th at the Hilton Chicago. All selected fintech startups will participate in a pitch competition, and one will be named the FIA Innovator of the Year. In addition, expo attendees, including senior executives from exchanges, clearinghouses, banks, brokers, and trading firms, will vote for the People's Choice Award winner. Apply with the link in today's newsletter. There were no new donations to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign yesterday. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. Yesterday, I interviewed a 40-year member of the NYSE, Kenny Polcari, for the Open Outcry Traders History Project. Polcari is my age, and it was amazing to hear his career story spanning the same issues and obstacles I encountered. He gave a very animated interview, which, if you know Polcari, is an understatement. Former NYMEX member and Fox News host Eric Bolling is set to host a new show on Newsmax, according to the New York Times. Bolling is a big fan of former President Donald Trump, who recently was an anchor for Sinclair Broadcasting Group. The UK's financial market regulator, the Financial Conduct Authority, stirred up the financial headline writers yesterday with a warning over the weekend about the local subsidiary of Binance, the largest cryptocurrency trading platform in the world. Per a Financial Times headline, Financial Watchdog bans crypto exchange Binance from UK. Bloomberg announced UK bans crypto exchange operator Binance, calling it one of the most significant regulatory moves to date against a cryptocurrency exchange. Yet none of that seems to be quite accurate. The FCA's announcement states that the agency does not regulate crypto assets like Bitcoin or Ether, just derivatives trading and assets that are securities. Furthermore, as of June 28th, the Binance UK website was devoid of trading opportunities of any type, with a simple statement, "Coming soon." Spot trading of Bitcoin on Binance seems unaffected by the FCA statement. It remains unclear what prompted the FCA's sudden announcement, which can be found with a link in today's newsletter. That was Tom Thompson reporting that. Cedric Chenu, a former Deutsche Bank metals trader, was sentenced yesterday to 12 months and a day of incarceration for his part in spoofing Siamese gold and silver markets. His associate at the bank, James Vorley, received the same sentence last week. Chenu's attorney drew the court's attention to the fact that the Department of Justice deep pockets afforded the prosecution $1.6 million for outside experts to bolster its case against the impecunious defendant, whose defense Deutsche Bank was not subsidizing. Deutsche Bank earlier pleaded guilty to related charges, Tom Thompson reported. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. From CNN. Delta variant is forcing officials to rethink COVID-19 measures, even for vaccinated. The more dangerous and more transmissible Delta variant has spread to nearly every state in the U.S., feeding health experts concern over potential COVID-19 spikes in the fall. The variant was first identified in India and is now considered a variant of concern by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, meaning scientists believe it can spread more easily or cause more severe disease. My comment, be safe, keep your distance, wash your hands, wear a mask when indoors. Here's a story from NPR. Wall Street bosses want their workers back. That's good for the king of falafel. You may assume Wall Street boss James Gorman and falafel maker David Shadaha don't have much in common, but after months of remote work, they share a goal to get bankers back into their New York buildings. With few exceptions, major Wall Street banks are already moving to resume office work as long as workers are vaccinated. Gorman, Morgan Stanley's chairman and CEO, expects most of its staff to be back by Labor Day. My comment, what is good for the king of falafel is good for Wall Street. Here's a story from the San Francisco Gate. It's so hot in Pacific Northwest that roads are buckling. It's so hot in the Pacific Northwest that roads are buckling. Asphalt and concrete roadways are expanding and cracking, and even Interstate 5 has been impacted amid a heat wave that has sent temperatures soaring to dangerous levels. My comment, there's a bubble over the Northwest that is a once-in-a-thousand-years occurrence. here's a press release from Murphy & McGonagall. Murphy & McGonagall announced leadership transition. Shareholder Elizabeth Land Davis elected to succeed co-founder and chairman James Murphy. Financial services law firm Murphy & McGonagall today announced a leadership transition with the election of Elizabeth Land Davis, 47, as chair and president of the firm. Ms. Davis, whose three-year term begins September 1, 2020, will succeed firm co-founder James Murphy, 57, who has served in those roles since the company's inception in 2010. The selection of Ms. Davis as the firm's first woman of color to lead Murphy & McGonagall was conducted by a shareholder vote, which took place on June 25th. Ms. Davis is based in the firm's Washington, D.C. office. My comment, congratulations to Murphy & McGonagall and to Ms. Elizabeth Land Davis on this historic move. Here's a press release from Wall Street Rides Far. Wall Street Rides Far names T. Rowe Price and NEO Exchange executives to board of directors. Mark Wyatt and Joe Schmidt's appointments underscore Wall Street Rides Far continued growth, both globally and across the spectrum of market participants. Wall Street Rides Far for Autism Research, the annual charity cycling and walking event benefiting the Autism Science Foundation, ASF, today announced the appointments of Mark Wyatt, head of global trading at T. Rowe Price, and Joe Schmidt, president and CEO of the NEO, or NEO Exchange, a Tier 1 Canadian stock exchange, to its board of directors. My comment, Wall Street Rides Far, reach is farther. Here are the top three stories from Monday's JLN. Monday's most clicked story from JLN was The Innovator's Dilemma Meets Furtick's Law, an opinion piece by John Lothian. That's me. The second most read piece was from The Wall Street Journal. Whistleblower thought he would get a big payout. Instead, he got nothing and went broke. And third was from Yahoo Finance. Prop trader Hudson River reaps $1 billion in frenzied quarter, which highlighted one trading firm's abundant first quarter. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for June 30th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. CFTC Commissioner Dawn Stump did it. She used the title Back to the Future in a speech, utilizing the words that have become trite headline fodder. The speech was prepared to be delivered to the ISDA Derivatives Trading Forum. The Washington Post has a story about how ADM sold some land in South Carolina that had processing and grain storage facilities to a company owned by then soon to be U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue. The land sold for $250,000, but it was assessed as much as 12 times higher in value. The story indicates that ADM was trying to curry favor with Perdue before he became Ag Secretary because it had some issues before the Department of Agriculture. The deal was not previously disclosed by the former governor. That was reported in the Washington Post. Northern Trust was hit with an almost $1 million fine by the NFA for an issue with the swap dealer operation. The complaint alleged that Northern Trust failed to establish adequate written procedures reasonably designed to ensure the firm executed written swap trading relationship documentation with counterparties prior to or contemporaneously with entering into a swap transaction. The fine was $999,000. There's an issue with the John Lothian News this morning. We are looking into it. There were no new donations to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign yesterday. Today, we published an interview with John Walls of ADMIS about his career and the development of the technology to help enhance the trading floor that transitioned to electronic trading. It is part of our The Path to Electronic Trading series. Mexico's Supreme Court essentially legalized individual cannabis use in the country on Monday, declaring the general health law that prohibits recreational cannabis use by adults unconstitutional. However, adults who want to smoke marijuana or grow cannabis for their own use still need a government permit until further legislation is enacted. The High Court's ruling follows the Mexican Senate's failure to meet a court-imposed deadline of April 30th to pass a cannabis law bill. More details on the significance of the action are in Harris Bricken's Cannabis Law blog. Suzanne Cosgrove reported that. ISDA's latest monthly podcast, Resilience by Margin, focuses on the initial margin rule for non-cleared derivatives. Greg O'Donohue of the Ontario Teachers Pension Plan and Jerome Blaise of BNP Paribas Security Services weigh in on its impact with a link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's our video from the Path to Electronic Trading series, John Walls. John Walls is an executive with ADM Investor Services, but he started in the industry like many others of his generation as a trading floor messenger or runner. As a runner on the Mid-America Commodity Exchange trading floor working for Scheck in trading, Walls took advantage of nearly every opportunity he was presented with to learn all different aspects of the markets and the futures industry. To watch this video, you can find it on johnlothiannews.com. Here's another video from John Lothian News. BSO founder and CEO Michael Oraba talks pandemic telecom experience and rebranding the firm. Michael Oraba is the founder and CEO of BSO, a technology infrastructure provider specializing in connectivity for finance and capital markets users. BSO recently embarked on a rebranding after being more of an engineering-focused company that was bad at marketing. John Lothian News interviewed Oraba over Zoom about BSO's rebranding, telecoms in the age of the pandemic, cybersecurity, business as the world reopens, virtual reality, and what comes next in technology. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Growing gaps in U.S. vaccination rates show regions at risk. Analysis of data shows a split in the U.S. inoculations, with the bottom fifth of counties falling far behind. The gap between the most vaccinated and the least vaccinated places in the U.S. has exploded in the past 3 months and continues to widen despite efforts to convince more Americans to get a COVID shot. On a national level, the news appears good. About 300,000 new people are getting a COVID vaccine every day in the U.S., and 54% of the full U.S. population has at least one dose. The country's vaccine campaign is among the most successful in the world. States have lifted restrictions on business and socializing, and hospitalizations have plunged. My comment, look at the map and try to avoid the areas with fewer vaccinations to protect yourself. Here is a story from Bloomberg Businessweek. The family behind the COVID bleach cure was making a fortune. When Donald Trump suggested injecting bleach, the Genesis 2 church just had the sacrament until Operation Quack Hack landed four elders in jail. Mark Grennan jolted awake in a sweat, his heart pounding. He'd been shaken by a nightmare that his family was about to be captured by armed forces who wanted to put him behind bars for life. In a rare feat for a false prophet, Grennan's vision essentially came true. At the break of dawn the next morning, July 8, 2020, as police helicopters circled overhead, a SWAT team appeared in armored vehicles and raided the headquarters of the Genesis II Church of Health and Healing in Bradenton, Florida, which doubled as the family home. Two of Grennan's sons, Jordan and Jonathan, were arrested. My comment: when you see something really stupid in the news, there is a backstory somewhere. Here is the backstory for the church that was promoting drinking bleach to cure COVID-19. Here are the top three stories from Tuesday's JLN. Our most read story on Tuesday was the obituary for Audrey Dolores D. Durr Hansen, who was the manager of the Visitors Gallery at the Chicago Board of Trade for many years, from Tribune Archive, the Cremation Society of Illinois. Second was the RJO press release, RJ O'Brien promotes Staniford to president, about the new role for Daniel Staniford. Third was CNN's, with more contagious Delta variant, some officials are issuing new mask guidance. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast. And if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you are not already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for July 1st, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. FINRA issued three press releases today about education. One was an announcement that it is spending $30 million on a multifaceted program to educate newer investors. Think Robinhood and similar type traders. The second press release was a request for comments on how to educate newer investors. They want to spend some money, which they have lots of for education, but they are not sure how or where to spend it. The last press release was about continuing education for industry professionals. I will have to think about this over the long U.S. holiday weekend and submit my comments. If you have some ideas, please share them with FINRA too, as they need the help. By the way, it would be great to see something similar from the CFTC with the fine money that they have sitting there dedicated for investor education. They also seem to be stuck about what to do and how to satisfy a Congress that does not like regulators to have money that they can't control. The fine money at the CFTC is not appropriated from Congress. It is collected from firms fined by the Commission. The New York Times has a comprehensive video about the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. The video is called Day of Rage, an in-depth look at how a mob stormed the Capitol. It walks through the day from people on buses coming to D.C. to the multi-pronged attack on the Capitol building. It is worth a look. I am soliciting suggested names for a new permanent CFTC chairman for an article that I'm writing about this. I have asked people from the legal or compliance professions to share their top five names with me anonymously. If you'd like to give me some names to include in the article, please email me at johnlothian@johnlothian.com. Peter Higham officially moves from ASX to Motive Partners today. Congratulations to Peter on his long career at ASX. Acuity released the results of its study into the transition from LIBOR to Sterling Overnight Index Average, or SONIA, in the British pound markets. My nephew Patrick Lothian's mother's former boss has died at the age of 88. Let me say that again. My nephew Patrick Lothian's mother's former boss has died at the age of 88. Donald Rumsfeld was the CEO of G.D. Cyril & Company, where Barb Lothian worked early in her career, and while the former government executive was working in the private sector. Giving to our JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign has slowed down of late. There were no new donations to help us with our history-focused video series. You can support the Open Outcry Traders History Project, the Path to Electronic Trading, and the History of Financial Futures video series by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. CBOE Global Markets has completed its acquisition of Chi-X Asia Pacific Holdings, which it first announced in March. The acquisition will give CBO an entry into Japan and Australia and establish a significant presence in the Asia-Pacific region for the first time, according to the CBOE press release. CBOE Chi-X Australia is the main competitor with ASX Limited in equity trading. Chi-X Japan, a PTS, offers two lit markets, Chi Alpha and Chi Select, and two dark markets, Chi Match and Chi-X. This follows CBOE's acquisition of BIDS Trading, a registered broker-dealer and operator of the BIDS alternative trading system, in January of this year. CBOE will integrate Chi-X Asia Pacific into its existing global business operations and technology platforms, beginning with Chi-X Asia Pacific and BIDS, and then migrating Chi-X Australia and Chi-X Japan. See the press release below in exchanges in today's newsletter for more details. In related news to Chi-X Asia Pacific Holdings announcement, CBOE also said it plans to broaden investor access to its proprietary products, including U.S. index options products based on the S&P 500 index and CBOE Volatility Index to tap global investor demand. Pending regulatory approval, it plans to extend trading hours for SPX and VIX options to nearly 24 hours a day, beginning November 21st. More details are in the release. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Robbing the Xbox vault inside a $10 million gift card cheat. A junior Microsoft engineer figured out a nearly perfect Bitcoin generation scheme. The Xbox gift card came with a string of 25 letters and numbers. The digits, known as a 5x5 code, were sent in an email, but they were no different from the numbers and letters etched into the gift cards hanging off tall racks near the checkout aisle at CVS or Target, arrayed in a Rubik's cube of colors. These stores sell them on behalf of Apple, Applebee's, Disney, Domino's, and pretty much every other company you can think of, including Microsoft Corp, which markets its cards under the Xbox brand. The cards themselves, of course, are worthless, but each 5x5 code corresponds to a dollar amount. In this case, the code DD9J9-MXXXC-3YXX-D-3QH2C-PWDWZ was worth $15 towards the purchase of anything that Microsoft sold online, video games, Office and Windows software, Lenovo laptops, Sonos speakers, and the like. My comment. Interesting story about a Russian, actually he's Ukrainian, programmer, Xbox online store testing, Bitcoin, and the market for gift cards. It has it all. Here is an editorial from the Financial Times. Delta variant shifts the calculus on final reopening. Vaccines are reducing the death rate, but mass infections are still a problem. The door had barely closed behind the disgraced Matt Hancock before his successor, Najib Javid, began to change the tone on lifting Britain's remaining lockdown restrictions. July 19th is still the target date for the final reopening, postponed from June 21st, the new health secretary told MPs this week. This would be the start of an exciting new journey for our country. Prime Minister Boris Johnson insisted that this date is the terminus for all of the success of the vaccination effort. However, the alarming spread of the Delta variant is reason for prudence. My comments, if you have problems with calculus, join the club by wearing a mask. Here's a press release from FINRA. FINRA launches educational initiative aimed at newer investors. FINRA and FINRA Foundation issue special notice soliciting comment on ways to reach and educate novice investors. FINRA today announced it has launched a multi-year, multifaceted $30 million initiative to explore innovative ways to reach and educate investors, especially new self-directed retail investors who conduct transactions through online accounts or using mobile apps. My comment, at least we know where $30 million of the $70 million fine for Robinhood is going. Here's a story from Car and Driver. Oregonians allowed to pump their own gas for 2 days. The Pacific Northwest is in the midst of a merciless heat wave. Temperatures in Portland, Oregon reached 112 degrees on Sunday, a record high since documentation began in 1940. Before setting a new peak on Monday at 115 degrees. The state's average for this time of year is in the 70s. This unexpected and overwhelming heat has now led Oregon to announce a temporary change to the state's regulations that prohibit customers from pumping their own gas. On Sunday, the Oregon State Fire Marshal announced that Oregonians are now permitted to fill their own cars, but only until the evening of Tuesday, June 29th. Governor Kate Brown approved the temporary suspension. My comment, you need 3 things to start a fire: fuel, air, and heat. Think about it when you are gassing up in 112 degree temperatures. Here are the top 3 stories from Wednesday's JLN. Our top story Wednesday was the Financial Times Refinitiv deal loses some of its luster for LSE as challenges mount. The challenge includes a disruption from Icon and a contract dispute with Reuters. Second was growing gaps in U.S. vaccination rates show regions at risk from Bloomberg. Third was the John Lothian News video, John Wall's The Path to Electronic Trading, an interview by me, John Lothian. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast. And if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for July 2nd, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. Robinhood, and more Robinhood are the lead stories today as the various media outlets ran through the company's IPO documents for loads of fun info, including that the free trading app said it derives a majority of its revenue from options trading. Also, Robinhood is facing more than 50 lawsuits stemming from the restrictions it put in place to manage the trading mania in January surrounding so-called meme stocks, according to the company's IPO filing. And DST Global, the late-stage firm founded by Russian-Israeli entrepreneur Yuri Milner, known for backing Facebook and Twitter, is Robinhood's biggest shareholder, owning more than 58 million shares. However, the top lead story is dark markets can be a geopolitical force multiplier. There are good reasons why the dark web marketplace Hydra has thrived in Russia, from Bloomberg. Today's Options Brew TV episode from Tradier is titled Options Gamma Exposure and Its Effects on SPX Returns, in which Jason and Lex discuss how understanding the dealer's positions can shed light on options gamma exposure and its relationship to SPX returns. The episode will be released at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the 2nd today. Here are highlights from the CME Group's second quarter volumes compared to the second quarter of 2020. Average daily volume, or ADV, increased 5%. Interest rate futures and options volume rose by 25%, including record SOFR futures ADV of 118,000, an increase of more than 200%, and interest rate options volume grew by 19%. CME had record Bitcoin volume for futures and options ADV of 26,575 contracts, as well as record Ether futures ADV of 3,740 contracts. On the ag side, futures and options volume increased 24%, including record volume from outside the United States. Agricultural ADV from EMEA was up 35%, while ADV from Asia rose by 67%. And agricultural options ADV jumped 76%, while corn options ADV increased 116%, and soybean oil options grew by 174%. Overall options ADV grew 13% to 3.1 million contracts. On the metals side, volume rose by 9%, including a record 4,300 ADV in copper options. And lastly, foreign exchange volumes grew by 6%. Hong Kong Exchange is celebrating the fourth anniversary of Bond Connect. The CFTC charged three individuals and three Florida companies with fraud in a multi-million dollar precious metal scheme. In shorthand, that is a number one, three cases in each category. Precious metals fraud in Florida is a longtime and popular type of offense that Jalen has shortened just to say it was a number one case. By the way, can I tell you a joke? Number six. John Stemple and Maria Shutkin of Reuters reported the Boy Scouts of America have reached an $850 million settlement with groups representing tens of thousands of men with sexual abuse claims, a major step towards addressing a deluge of accusations that sent the organization into bankruptcy. We are stuck just short of $50,000 for the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. From Waters Technology, obituary, Telerite founder Neil Hirsch dies at age 74. Former employees praised the kind and caring CEO who made millions from data but still knew staff by name. Long before Michael Bloomberg launched his eponymous data business with his Salomon Brothers payout, another data vendor dominated the fixed income data industry. Telerite, founded by Neil Hirsch, a college dropout who spotted a huge opportunity to provide fixed income data via electronic terminals. Hirsch, who died last week at the age of 74, pioneered the growth of electronic data terminals, founding Telerite in 1969 and striking exclusive bond pricing licenses, most notably with Cantor Fitzgerald, which took 25% in the vendor that sent its value soaring. My comment, we have lost a pioneer. Here's a story from Bloomberg. How COVID helped heist hoaxes, scams, cons, and other mischief, car thefts, porch piracy, medical fraud, and all kinds of other grifts boomed during the pandemic. The pandemic was a bonanza for streaming media services, real estate brokers, and bulk toilet tissue suppliers. It also wasn't bad for bike thieves, sellers of dubious financial products, and members of obscure royal families who just so often happen to be sitting on an enormous fortune they'd love to share if only you'd wire them $10,000 in cash today. My comment, all kinds of mischief in this story with lots of graphics. Here's a story from CBS News. Richard Branson will fly into space on July 11th, beating rival Jeff Bezos by 9 days. Richard Branson, the billionaire founder of Virgin Galactic, will fly into space aboard the company's VSS Unity rocket plane on July 11th for an up-and-down test flight, beating Amazon founder and rival Jeff Bezos into suborbital space by 9 days. The announcement from Virgin came just a few hours after Bezos announced that aviation pioneer Wally Funk will be joining him. His brother Mark and the yet-to-be-named winner of an online auction for Blastoff July 20th aboard his company's New Shepard spacecraft. My comment, to infinity and beyond! Here are the top three stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top story Thursday was robbing the Xbox vault inside a $10 million gift card cheat from Bloomberg Businessweek. As I said yesterday, the story has it all. Second was a story with an even bigger number in it. Robinhood ordered to pay $70 million penalty to U.S. regulator from the Financial Times. Third was another Financial Times story, How to Cope with the Climate Apocalypse. It is subtitled, A Not Entirely Gloom and Doom Plan of Action, if it makes you feel any better. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. Have a great 4th of July weekend and be safe. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.